From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. By the time Washington became a state back in 1889, slavery had been abolished for nearly a quarter century in our country. But there are a few documented cases of slavery in the Washington Territory. One is that of Charles Mitchell, who was born a slave and brought to Washington Territory back in 1853. Storyteller and actress Eva Abram brings the Charles Mitchell story to life in a new presentation that she's doing around the state for Humanities Washington. Eva Abram uses American history to focus on her storytelling. She's portrayed Shirley Chisholm and Rosa Parks and Sojourner Truth and Henrietta Lacks, the African-American woman whose cells, unbeknownst to her, were cultured to create an immortal cell line for medical research. And Eve also works with us here at KOW on occasion. Thanks so much for coming by. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is such an interesting story. This guy, Charles Mitchell, was on a plantation, born on a plantation, apparently, in Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. His father was a white oyster farmer named Charles Mitchell, and his mother was a young black house slave, and apparently the name not known. Why was he born a slave if his father was not?
Well, it was customary in slavery time for the children to follow the status of the mother, even though apparently the mother and the father had good relationships because the son was named after the father. But regardless of that, he had to be a slave because his mother was a slave.
And how did young Charles Mitchell, born a slave in Maryland, come to Puget Sound?
He came with a man named James Tilton. In 1853, Washington became a separate territory from Oregon, and we needed a surveyor general. President Pierce appointed James Tilton as that surveyor general. And Charles Mitchell had come into the hands of Tilton through a relative. He was married to a relative of Rebecca Gibson, who was the previous owner. Now, when Charles was about 2 years old, his mother was dying of cholera. And she asked her mistress to please take care of Charlie, her son. And the woman promised to do so. And I guess in keeping that promise, he was passed on to another family member who happened to be James Tilton.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tilton was appointed, he brought his family out and brought Charles with him to Washington Territory.
And Charles was very young at the time?
He was very young at the time. He was about 7 years old.
And tell me again, where did he live with his family, in with his owner in Washington State? And do we know anything about his life here?
Yes. Well, we know that he lived in Olympia, where Tilton established a household. And he was given some schooling, according to Tilton. He was given some schooling and some training to eventually work on ships, which was a big business at that time.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, from what I've been reading, he was approached when he was just a boy by some secret representatives of the mm-hmm. black community in what was then the Crown Colony of Victoria, British Columbia?
Yes, there was a ship called the Eliza Anderson, and there were three black men who worked on that ship. One of those men approached him. Apparently, they had seen him on the shore, on the docks, several times, and one of the men approached him with an idea.
And the idea was?
The idea was freedom. I imagine that the man said, "Charlie, I know a place where you could be free." They could tell he wasn't free. "I know a place where there are a lot of free black folk. Not 5, not 10, not 100, but 800 of us moved to Victoria, B.C. If you come with me, you can be as free as a bird."
I wonder what was going through that 12-year-old boy's mind to hear that.
I wonder, too, because he was a slave in Maryland, and he was a slave here. That is all he knew. And I wondered, as I did my research for this, I wondered if someone like that could even get their mind around the idea of freedom. Well, I don't know how long he took to make his decision, but on September 24th, 1860, he snuck aboard that ship.
And what's so interesting about this is we can speculate about this because we don't know a lot of the facts, but he comes to Olympia, to a state that knew few, if any, slaves. To what degree did that affect his decision? To what degree did that give him an inkling of the fact that he didn't have to live as a slave? knowing that all around him there weren't slaves, perhaps the way there were back in Maryland.
Right. There were so few black people here. And if he were encountered them, there were some free people that he encountered. But I don't know if he encountered any other people that were in bondage. Mm-hmm. And they're having such a smaller population, I'm not sure what would have gone through his mind. I mean, being so young, I would imagine that he would be quite dependent on this family and fear being on his own.
So what a decision to... Now, he stowed away on the ship that was bound for Victoria?
He stowed away on the ship that was bound for Victoria. And having that offer of freedom and knowing that there was a lot of support in this place that he would go, I imagine that influenced his decision quite a bit. So he snuck away on this ship, stowed away on the ship. And this ship, the Eliza Anderson, travels from Olympia, Washington, all the way up through Victoria, stopping in places in between. So the story is, some say he was caught before he got to Steilacoom, some say before he got to Seattle, but somewhere along the way he was discovered. Mm-hmm. And Captain Fleming wanted to take him right back to Olympia, but he couldn't because he had to keep a schedule. He couldn't just turn the ship around.
Sure, and this is the late 19th century. It's not as though there are a lot of, you could just put him on another ship going in the other direction. There's not a lot of transportation going on. So he takes him, discovered him before he gets to Victoria. Mm-hmm. Do we have any idea whether the captain knew what his status was, that he was a slave?
Well, some things I've read say that the acting governor's and his son was on ship. And some stories say that Mitchell confided in the son that he was a slave stowing away to get to freedom. And the son told the father, and that's how he was discovered. I am not exactly sure about how he was discovered, but he was discovered. And Fleming locked him away immediately, saying, I'm taking you back to Olympia. But then he decided, no, I'm going to make you work for your passage. So he made him work. But before they got back to Victoria, he was locked away again.
Mm-hmm. And what year was this again?
This was 1860.
I'm talking with storyteller and actress Eva Abram, and she's talking about the story of Charles Mitchell, one of the very few documented slaves in what was the Washington Territory back in 1860. And she's bringing this talk to libraries and schools and other venues as part of Humanities Washington. In fact, if you contact Humanities Washington, they'll pay to have her come and talk to your group about this kind of extraordinary story. So what happens when he gets to Victoria?
Well, something that Captain Fleming was not expecting. There was a crowd of people, black faces, white supporters of free black people, waiting for Mitchell to step off that ship into freedom.
Wow. So somehow they'd gotten word that this slave from Olympia was coming to Victoria.
Yes, through the grapevine. Mm-hmm. And so Fleming had him still locked away. Fleming left the ship. Word got around that Mitchell was locked up and was not getting off. And so the crowd got to be a little rowdy. They exchanged words with the crew, even to the point of threatening to come on the ship and remove Mitchell themselves. And the crew said, oh, yeah, you come on this ship, we're going to break some heads. Mm-hmm. And so this went back and forth. In the meantime, the black shipman went to an attorney and signed an affidavit stating that Mitchell was being held against his will. He was a slave who had tried to escape many times, and he should be released to Victoria.
So there's this standoff going on at the docks where the ship's holding Charles Mitchell, this 12-year-old slave from Olympia. Some legal documents are obtained. They ended up getting him off the boat.
Well, before they were able to get him off, Fleming, the captain, came back on the ship. He consulted the acting governor, McGill, saying, what should I do? And McGill was furious. He said, if we had a naval ship in these waters close enough, we would put Mitchell on that ship, and then I'd like to see him taken off.
This was the acting governor of the Washington Territory.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So he was consulting his authorities just as the black representatives were talking to lawyers there. So it kind of becomes an international incident, doesn't it?
It almost did, actually. Now, remember, at this time, this is 1860, 1 year before the beginning of the Pig War. There was already a conflict between the U.S. and B.C. And then there's their governor, Douglas, who promotes good relations between blacks and whites. He has some Cree in his family, some Creole in his family, so he's for this. But he has this pig war incident going on. He's also concerned about being annexed by the United States. And now you have this Charles Mitchell incident. So if there had been a U.S. naval ship in those waters, we certainly could have been involved in something
real. And remind people about what the pig war was. It's this little-known part of Washington state history. If you go to San Juan Island, you probably found out about it. An incident was sparked by the theft of a pig.
The killing of a pig, the shooting of a pig by an American. And this pig belonged to someone, an employee of the Hudson Bay Company. Company back then. And so it evolved into an issue of who those islands belonged to. And that was a standoff that lasted for 12 years until it was arbitrated.
So there's all this tension over that, and all of a sudden the slave boy Charles Mitchell becomes a huge issue going on. People consulting the Washington governor of the territory, the legal officials in Victoria getting involved in it. How was it resolved?
Well, a writ of habeas corpus was issued. The judge signed a writ of habeas corpus, and that means to Latin for release. You have the body, release the body. Now, this had been tried before, 1772. In London, there was a Somerset case regarding a slave that was kidnapped and put on a ship. And the writ worked for James Somerset. And this time, it also worked for Charles Mitchell. So the sheriff went on the ship with this writ, and Fleming decided to go ahead and put him in custody of BC. Now, from the time Mitchell got on the ship, he was bound for freedom. But ever since then, he's been locked up. He was locked up on the ship. He's now locked up in a BC jail, waiting for trial.
And what happened at that trial? They had to determine whether he was an owned person or whether he was a free person.
Whether he was owned, whether he was should be returned to his owner, and whether he was free. He was on British soil. Mm-hmm. British soil says you're free. You breathe British air, you're free. So that is exactly what the Attorney General argued. He said once you breathe British air, you are a free person, and that these people on this land should be governed by the law of this land. So eventually the judge said the same thing, you are free.
And so he's free and he's in Victoria, and then the story gets a little hazy?
Yeah, then the story gets a little hazy. What happened to him? When we hear stories like this, we want to presume that this person grew and became a great citizen and all of that. And that's possible, but there's very little written about him. I hate to mention this, but the only thing I found written about his life was that he was arrested one day for drunkenness.
In Victoria.
In Victoria, yeah. But it was a small thing, and I remind people when I'm discussing this that we don't determine whether a person should be free or enslaved based on whether they're going to be drunk or, in the future.
Yeah. So he's a free man in Victoria, British Columbia, and this is just before the Civil War breaks out. And all of a sudden, I believe there are also some stories that perhaps when the Civil War was over and the slaves were freed in the United States, perhaps he went back to Maryland.
Well, that is, perhaps he did go back to Maryland. I can't confirm that for sure, but he may have been looking for a relative. But we do know that he did return and live out his life in Victoria.
What drew you to this story? What made you interested in this story?
Because it surprised me. I've studied Washington state history, and I've never heard of slavery in Washington. And so I wanted to investigate it and share it with people, other people, because the more we know, the better off we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really curious to find out how audience react to this. You have not given your presentation yet, but I'm sure you've been talking with a lot of people about it.
I have.
Are they surprised to hear that there's a documented case of a slave boy, Charles Mitchell, in our state?
They are absolutely surprised. Mm-hmm. And what happens is with this story and stories like it, people tend to have to rethink what they thought about Washington. In this story in particular, Washington's role in the Civil War. I remind them that there were a lot of Southerners who traveled north to Washington Territory, and they did not drop their Jim Crowish ideas at the border. Mm. So those ideas traveled here to Washington and also over the border to BC. So people have to rethink their perspective on our Washington Territory's role in the Civil War. All of this, Charles Mitchell's case is building up to the war. 1 month after his case was decided, South Carolina seceded from the Union, and 7 months after the case was over, then that was the beginning of the Civil War. And since we are in the midst of marking the war, I think it's a quite relevant story.
And we know the story of Charles Mitchell, Eva Abram, because of it became this kind of international incident. But it kind of made me wonder about the fact that we, even though we haven't heard of other slaves, were there other slaves in Washington State at that time? And maybe their stories were never noted.
That's absolutely right. That is the problem with doing the research. The stories may not have been ever noted. We know that when people traveled the Oregon Trail, they brought slaves with them. Some stories say they released their slaves once they reached this area. Some say the slaves and their owners worked side by side to establish themselves in this new territory. So if they weren't, didn't become politicians or remarkable otherwise, then their stories have been lost.
Eva Abram, thank you so much for telling us the story of Charles Mitchell. We really appreciate it.
It was my great pleasure.
It's a story of history, of Washington State history, of Charles Mitchell, one of the few documented slave stories of what was then the Washington Territory. And Eva Abram is making a presentation on this, and you can hear much more about it if you attend one of her presentations for Humanities Washington. And if you're a nonprofit group or a church or a library, you can also bring her to talk about this at your event. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.